Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you would like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
Hallelujah! He is risen! He's risen indeed, yes. Amen. And amen. And amen. This is a good day. It's a pretty good day right now. We celebrate his resurrection. I try to live in celebration of his resurrection, personally. JJ, can I get a little less monitor? Thanks. He's alive, and that really changes everything. Amen. There's lots of dead gods. And only one living God. Hallelujah. His name is Jesus. Pretty happy about him. If you're Calvinist, I'm thankful he saved me. If you're Arminian, I'm glad that I gave my life to him and I got new life. Amen. However you want to put it, I'm saved and I'm thankful to Jesus for it. Amen. 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 I'm happy. I'm happy, happy, happy. Can I have my Bible, son? I'm going to preach out of that today, I think. I got encyclopedias and stuff, but I think we'll just preach out of the Bible. Amen. It's hard for me to transition right now because I'm pretty excited about Jesus. And I'm pretty happy about what he's doing in the room, pretty happy about what he's doing in Boca. I'm pretty happy what he's doing in my life. I'm thankful that it didn't stop the day I got saved, that was the beginning. Amen. Oh, Jesus. Life and life more abundantly. Amen. I wasn't going to tell you guys, I'll tell you anyways. I was, when we went into the song, whatchamacallit, the Praise the Name, I had an angel run right by me, like how we take off running every now and then. He took off right by me. I had to get out of his way. It startled me. And then I thought, should I follow him? And then I thought, well, I'm a little tired right now, and I'll get all sweaty, and I'll be in stage looking all crazy, and I don't know if I want to. But he was already gone by that point, and so I didn't run after him. But I'm happy that the angels are here. I'm happy that Jesus is here. I'm happy that you are here. Tell your neighbor, I'm happy you're here today. Happy that you're here today at Revival Life Church in the house of the Lord. Good, 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 right? So we're finishing up our message series. If you're just picking up our message series today, we trust you'll be able to catch on. We're talking in our message series, it's called Famous Last Words. It's the seven last words of Christ on the cross. Seven last words of Jesus on the cross. The cross being the central action, the high point of the New Testament there. Actually, of the Gospels, because he rose from the dead. That's kind of the high point of the whole Bible, as far as I'm concerned, the resurrection from the dead, which is what we're celebrating today. Get to that in a moment. But as we look at the seven final words of Christ, we've gone through six in three message series. The first one, I believe we have them to put up here. The first one was out of Luke 23. We gave a message. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. We get a whole message about forgiveness, about how God is a God of forgiveness, and we're so thankful for that. Our next message series, our next message was out of Luke 23:43, and Jesus spoke to the repentant sinner on the cross and said, hey, today you'll be with me in paradise, kind of declaring to the whole world that Jesus has the power to put people in heaven, and I'm pretty happy about that. It's not we don't have to want, can I tell you this? You don't have to wonder if you're saved. That could be settled once and for all. It's good news right there, because the whole branches of Christianity that aren't even sure if they're saved. I can say with authority right now, I'm saved, I know that I'm saved, and when I die, I'm going to heaven. That's pretty good news. And if you're not sure, or if you think because of something that happened, my grandma goes to church. That is not what does it. You need Jesus to tell you you're going to heaven. If you don't have that assurance, we can, at the end of today, we're going to have some people right here at the intercession banner, and they're going to pray you right into heaven. Amen? You could get that settled today, right? Don't leave here without salvation. I believe it's a free gift today. Got a special going on. The next two things that Jesus said on the cross we didn't cover in our message series. He said in John 19:26 and 27, woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother, talking about the family of God in the body of Christ. In Matthew 27:46, and in Mark, we didn't cover this also, but we alluded to it, where Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? So here we see Jesus suffering on the cross. He's dying, and things aren't going well, and he wasn't happy about it. Amen. He did suffer and die. We don't talk about his suffering a lot in the charismatic church, but he did suffer. And because of his suffering, we can come into so many blessings. He didn't forsake the suffering, though he knew it was coming. But he submitted to it because he knew it was part of the Father's plan. And again, we don't talk a lot about that in the charismatic church because we just so believe in overcoming. We believe in breakthrough. We believe in healing. We believe in resurrection power. We believe in the restoration of all things. However, we can't have a restoration of all things unless there's some things that need to be restored. And that's got to be part of the story. So many people in the church today feel abandoned, they feel forsaken, they feel to be made lower because they need a breakthrough. And so we hide that sin in darkness. We hide it and we don't tell people because we're fearful that if they find out that we lack something, that somehow we won't measure up. But we like to just rip the veil off of that, as it were, that if you're sitting near somebody, they need a breakthrough. So you're not alone. If we didn't need something from God, then we wouldn't need God. Guess what? I need him every day. You know, I'm not where I used to be. Who knows what I'm talking about? But I'm not where I want to be. You know what I'm saying? And I'm thankful for where he's brought me, but there's more. Amen? But there's more. And that sin doesn't define you. That lack doesn't define you. Your sickness does not define you. The poverty does not define you. Your need for something added to your life doesn't define you. Who you are is defined by who God created you to be in heaven. And we're here to see you become that. Amen? That's a good word right there. John 19:28, Jesus said, I thirst. And you can make that super, super spiritual, and you could possibly argue with me about this, but I think it's kind of funny that the Bible says he said that to fulfill a prophecy. That's why you got to watch out for rogue prophets. I'm going to leave it at that. The next one is, give me a little more monitor, JJ, we're going to chase this thing around. John 19:30, which I got really encouraged talking about last week, where Jesus said, let's say it together, it is finished. It's finished. He dealt with sin. Who remembers this? Dealt with sin, dealt with your separation from God, dealt with all kind of good stuff. It is finished. And when you think that's all there is, but wait. It just gets gooder and gooder, amen? Life with Jesus gets gooder and gooder. It's like marriage if you're doing it right. It gets gooder and gooder. If you're doing it in your own power, get some counseling. Hallelujah. That leads us today to the last saying of Christ on the cross. If you got your Bible, you can go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 23. We're going to start in verse 44. How about that worship today? That was good stuff right there. I just wanted to stay there. I just wanted to stay in worship. But they were out of songs. And I get paid to do this. So I want a paycheck this week, so I figured I'd just get up. Luke 23. Starting in verse 44, you guys there? Let me hear you say yeah. Okay, six of you there. You there? Let me hear you say yeah. Oh, yeah. Here we go. Sweet Jesus. Looks like I cried on this Bible, but it just rained. All right, verse 44. Let's pick up the story. We're in the middle. Of course, Jesus was the sinless Lamb of God. He never sinned, never violated the Father's heart in his entire life. Never did anything outside of the Father's will, never violated love, ever, which is amazing in and of itself. He was anointed as the Messiah. John the Baptist called him out of a crowd. And he said, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Water baptized and the Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove. The Bible didn't say a dove landed on him, it said the Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove. Jesus went about teaching and doing all kind of miracles and just blowing people's minds for 3.5 years, rocking their world, keeping them off center. They didn't know what was going to come next. I can't imagine what was going through the disciples' minds. I talk about that a lot. Can't imagine what living with Jesus was like. My wife got married to me, and all of a sudden her world got rocked. She's like, I wasn't signing up for all this. Jesus must have been that time, you know, on Monster with a Red Bull shot. You know what I'm talking about? Like, that must have just been insane constantly, because you never knew what was going to happen. Yet and still, he told them things they understood but didn't believe. And then he told them things that they believed but didn't understand. Right? Then they, he was arrested, and he was brutalized all over Jerusalem. Then they brought him up to be killed, be murdered, brutally murdered. All his disciples abandoned him, acted like they didn't even know him. And he was nailed to a wooden beam and then hung on another wooden beam, brought up over the city. And while he was there dying, he said seven things, which we just went through six of them. He declared that it is finished, meaning his work on the earth was done. He asked the Father, please, is there any other way we can accomplish this? And of course, we know there wasn't. We know there's nothing that you and I could do that could accomplish what Jesus accomplished. We know there's no work. There's no way to buy it. There's no mantra to say. There's no hajj to make. There's no supplication that could satisfy what was needed that only Jesus Christ himself could satisfy. You can't be good enough. You can't have enough contrition. You can't do enough penance. It's not possible. There needed a sinless sacrifice. Jesus Christ was the only one who could meet that requirement. And so after he said it is finished, he had accomplished everything the Father had given him to do. He said this last thing. It says in verse 44, let's look at it together. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour, because the sun was obscured and the veil of the temple was torn in two. Now, you got to understand, as Jesus was dying, since he is the light of the world, I mean, the earth itself, I mean, we talk about the earth, the very creation is groaning with birth pains. This was really happening literally at the revealing of the Son of God. It said there were earthquakes, the sun was darkened, crazy wind was happening. Nature was being shifted right now as the sinless one was dying. It says, because the sun was obscured and the veil of the temple was torn in two. Verse 46, and Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. Literally, he gave up the ghost. He gave up his soul into the hands of the Father. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this day today. I thank you for the holy opportunity to share your word today on this amazing day that we celebrate your resurrection. Father, I thank you. I don't have words. I just don't have words to express my thanks for what you've done for me personally and what you've done for the world. I don't have words to express how amazing I think you are and how amazing we think you are and how we give our life to serve you. And I just ask today, Father, that if there's any way that you could anoint my words, that you could make my words spirit and life, like you did the words of Jesus, that it would quicken the hearts of some people today, and that someone would be crossed over from darkness into light and from an eternity separated from you to an eternity joined to you. Father, if today you could just reveal to us one new layer of your love and of your purpose and your plans and the joy that you have, we ask that you would do this, Father. And we ask all of this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen and amen. I got to believe this was a pretty awful period for the disciples. You know, the world was turned upside down and everybody knew this man who just got sentenced to death and murdered was their leader. And of course, they knew that this meant that their life was now on the line as well. They went from being at the head of the class, soon to rule the Roman kingdom, to wanted criminals. They went from actually having a faith and a hope in God. You got to understand, these were people who were separated from God. These weren't leaders in the temple. They weren't the leaders of Judaism. They, before Jesus came along, they never thought they were right with God. They knew that they were criminals. They knew that they were separated. They knew that their life was a mess. They knew what they were doing was wrong. They knew that they were in sin. They knew that. And Jesus came along and he actually sparked a little hope in their life. He actually made them believe in God again, that God was going to do something amazing in Israel, that God was going to do something amazing, possibly even through them. They allowed themselves to hope again. They allowed themselves to dream. They even allowed themselves to step out and do wondrous works for God. And they followed this man for 3.5 years, and then he's murdered. You ever felt like your hope got betrayed? It hurts, right? Makes it kind of hard to hope again, doesn't it? And some people say that, you know, time heals all wounds. How many of you know that's not true? Time just makes you forget about the pain because you've avoided anything around it for a long time. Right? Time doesn't heal anything. The only thing that happens is you get scar tissue over the pain. Time doesn't heal anything. But here these guys were, just going about their life, trying to pick up the pieces. We know someone went fishing. They just went and tried to put their lives back together, if at all possible. But Jesus told them this was going to happen. He told them time and again this was going to happen, and they didn't understand it. If we look at John, Jesus spelled this entire season out. And if they look at it with faith, they'd actually see the things were going to work out. But that's hard sometimes in the midst of chaos to see that God is going to work it out. Sometimes in the midst of the struggle, when it looks like all your options have just ended, it's hard to see there's an open door that's even better. Because that door, you can only see through the eyes of faith. Disappointment, fear, pain chokes out faith. But let's look at what Jesus said to John and see if we can't kind of unpack it a little bit, see if we can't apply it to our lives. Amen? And it is my goal to get you out of here quickly because there's ham waiting, right? There's honey baked ham waiting with applesauce, which is the only way to eat ham. I believe it's in the scripture somewhere in the back. I'm not sure, somewhere in the back, honey baked with applesauce. Hallelujah. Come on. Yes. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you for your life and the life that you gave so we can have ham today. John chapter 12. Are you there? Let's look at this real quick. All right. Can we just go through this real quick? This is Jesus talking to his disciples about this coming season. All right. We're going to start in verse 23. Jesus. Now, right now, Gentiles are trying to get at Jesus, but it's not their time yet. But he's talking about them and to his disciples. Jesus is talking on layers at all times. I would have just carried around a notepad. Like, I like to, like, put things on, like, my Google, like, I have, what was it, Google Keep? And in my Google Keep, I have, like, 1,000 notes of things I got to figure out later. I'll be talking to someone, like a certain brain professor, and he'll say things. And I'm like, I don't know what that meant, but I'm going to figure that out. You have smarter friends than you that say things, and you're like, I don't know what that meant. And you just got to type it out phonetically because you don't even know how to, you don't even know if, I don't even know what that means. I tell you my trick, what I do is I use Google Voice to text. He always knows how to spell. And I just do Google Voice. I'm like, wow, that's how you spell that? I never would have guessed. There's a U in there. I would have never guessed that. Right? And so I have these keep docs of trying to figure stuff out that I'm like, figure this out one day, you know? I'm like, okay. And if I was them, I'd have figured I'd have just carried a scroll with me. And Jesus would have said something. At some point, I'd have been like, I bet that means something. Let me write that down. I bet that means something. Let me write that down. I'll figure that out later, right? And so he's talking to them about one thing, but he's talking about another. You know, Jesus is pretty good at that, right? So, John, he does that in our lives, yeah? You having a little conversation, talking in your mind. Next thing you know, that's Jesus talking to you. And you're like, ooh, I bet that isn't just about this traffic, is it? Right? I bet that's about that thing I've been praying about for a month. Let me write that down. So here we are, John 12:23. Jesus starts talking to his disciples, and he answered them saying, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Verse 25, he who loves his life loses it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. Verse 26, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor them. Now, I can understand why they didn't understand what the heck he was talking about there, right? But in retrospect, it makes all kind of sense. Side note, get a journal, write down stuff Jesus says to you. Look at it every couple months. Because I have found that he never just randomly says things. They're almost always provision for later. And you'll start flipping, like, oh, that's the season I'm in right now. I'm so thankful that the disciples were faithful enough to later write down the stuff that Jesus said. That's a good word, right? So if you have a little handout here, I just want to show you four quick things in this little passage of Scripture that Jesus talked about as we can apply it to our life. Number one, I want you to see this. Take a note, you can write it down. The season. The season. John 12:23. Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Here is what many believers fail to grasp. There are seasons in your life. And just like if you don't plant in the spring, you will not have food come fall. It is possible to miss the seasons of God in your life. It is absolutely possible to miss the seasons of God in your life. We got to be in tune with God. We got to be in the Word. We got to be listening. We got to be fellowshipping with believers. We got to be hearing what He's saying to other people. We got to be in the season that God is in our lives. Sometimes we want things to work out so badly, we hold on to them too long. Who knows what I'm talking about? So I should have destroyed that relationship a long time ago, way back when Jesus told me to. Should have quit that job. Should have looked for a new job. I should have. Make it a point in your life this year. I'm just going to follow Jesus. I want to be in the seasons that Jesus is in. How many of you know the disciples didn't want him to leave? And if Jesus, hear me, now hear this. If Jesus had elevated his friendships above God, he wouldn't have gone to the cross. It's possible to be so empathic that we don't submit to God. We allow soulishness to choke out true spirituality. We start thinking that we can meet people's needs better than God can. We start operating, instead of out of our anointing, we operate out of our gift. And instead of following God, we start doing what we can do. We start speaking a word not in due season. And we mess people up. It's important to not miss the seasons of your life. If God speaks something to you, man, we need to run after it. Why? Well, if it's God, it'll come to pass. It's awesome, but the Bible doesn't say that. It's just not there. You got to do something. You got to follow God. You got to react to what He's doing. You have to line up with His Word. If God has called you to be at a certain position and have a certain job and you decide to not apply, guess what? God still wants them to have somebody in the position. He's not stopping the whole planet so you can come into your call. Jesus is calling. You got to answer. You hear what I'm saying, right? And likewise, when you answer that call, even when it's difficult, amazing things begin to happen in your life. When you feel like the Lord is convicting me about telling people about Jesus, and you're like, man, I just want to stand in line at Walgreens, and I don't want to say anything to anybody. I know He's telling me to talk to this woman, but I don't. And then she turns around and smiles at you randomly. And You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. And then the register breaks. You're like, oh, wow, three more minutes in line, huh? I'm sweating. Is the air on in here? I don't know what's happening. And you can rationalize it forever, and she leaves, and you're like, I just missed it. I just missed. Who knows what I would have just come into right there. Now, the fellas are generally answering every single divine appointment when it's the lady in line in Walgreens, I've found. But it's the ones that may have no possible benefit to you personally. The Bible tells us that there's appointed seasons in our life. He says there's acceptable years. He says that there's days of the Lord. He tells us there's moments in time. We're God. We have a God who works within our time frame, which is ridiculous because he doesn't have to. He tells us to raise up a child in the way they should go. Why would he say that if he'll make it happen anyways? He tells us to be good parents for a reason, because we mess up another generation, right? And there are certain things that aren't going to happen on this planet unless we do them, period. And he opens these amazing doors to let us do more than we could ever do. And Jesus knew, hey, my time has come. The hour has come for me to be glorified. And Jesus, I can't miss this. Even though I love these men, even though I love the women who follow me, even though the Bible says that he had so much compassion for the hurting, he had compassion for the sick. He was a man who gave his life, even before he gave up his life, he gave his life for others. He was constantly meeting the needs of people. And yet he said, the best thing for them right now is for me to obey my Father. Let me tell you, the greatest thing you can ever do is be righteous. The greatest you can ever do for the people around you is follow God, is to make holy choices, to not sacrifice your call for people. Hear me, you'll never come into what God has for you as long as you're trying to take other ways to what you think you get. It's impossible. It's impossible. It won't happen. Oh, hallelujah, that's not my point of my message, but it's a good word for somebody. Sometimes we just get so excited about what we can do, we stop listening to what God can do through us. Right? We get a little vain about our abilities, about what we can do on our own. Like, I got this. Jeremiah said this in 9:23. Write this down if you're taking notes. Go look at it later. He says, thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. We can get pretty excited about what we can accomplish. We can get pretty excited, but the Father says, listen, if you want to get excited about something that you can do, get excited about the fact that you know me. Because when you know him, then you can do stuff you can't do. And the world doesn't need what you can do. The world needs what you can't do. That's a good word right there. And so Jesus was signifying and demonstrating to the people, guess what? My hour has come, and I am obeying. Amen? Number two, the next thing I want you to look at here is the death. The death. First was a season of him to be honored and glorified. Number two is the death. John 12:24 says this as we continue through our scripture. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Now, we all know this scripture, but I find it hard to live every single time he tells me to die to something. If you're taking notes, write this down. His life-giving power is conditioned by death. His life-giving power is conditioned by death. Listen, you can't get life unless there is a death. Jesus died and rose again. He wouldn't have resurrection power unless he was resurrected. Hear me. Don't take what I'm not saying here, but he was born in Bethlehem, and then he was born again. out of that tomb. He was dead and came alive. Oh, you saying that he was born again? He needed. I'm just telling you, he was born again. I don't know why that would be controversial, Mike. Because he was dead. And people say, you know I'm right with God. I know I'm right. I do good things. Have you been born again? Have you died to yourself? Have you died to your way of life? Have you died to your plans? Have you died to what you could accomplish? Have you died to those things? Jesus signifies here, there's got to be a death. If you got some corn and you're hungry, it makes absolutely no sense to put it in dirt. It don't make any sense at all. Except that's the way it works. You're in the middle of nowhere. You're just a farmer. And if you don't get crops, you die. Or you eat the cow. You know what I mean? Like something happens, right? Like you're looking at the dog. You know, like you got to figure something out, right? You got to do something, right? And you got a little corn. And you're like, is this seed or is it bread? Am I grinding this up and eating it and this is all there is? Or do I plant it in the ground and get seed and bread? And we live in a world that really thinks that we can accomplish anything. Like, we are tricked into believing the American dream, that all of our dreams can be perfectly satisfied if we're just greedy enough. If we're selfish and greedy enough, we can become happy. Only problem is that doesn't work. Only problem is it doesn't work. What do you have to do? Well, Jesus promised way better things than the American dream. It's called heaven's dream. And heaven's dream for you is that you be an overcomer in every area of your life. Why would he want you to be an overcomer? Well, number one, just because he's a good God. And he likes you to be happy. Just like I want my son to have money he didn't earn just because I'm a good dad. My Father in heaven is so much better. As a matter of fact, he wants you to have so much that it's easy for you to give it away. Easy for you to give away. Easy to be generous with everything he's given you, with joy and peace, forgiveness, love, finances, joy, courage. He loves you giving away courage. Well, if I make that person bigger than me, then my status has just died. Yep, that's how it works. That's how it works in this amazing kingdom. There has to be a death before there can be life. If you've never given your life to Jesus, welcome. Today's the day. This is the appointed hour. I've heard people tell me, well, I'm not ready to be a Christian. That's because you don't know what that means. That's about the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. I don't know how you can be so stupid and keep breathing. I'm not ready. Really? I don't think you know what that means. I see you drowning over there. Would you like a flotation device? Not quite ready to not drown. I don't think you understand what I'm offering you right now. See, in my lungs, there's only air. In your lungs, there's water and air. I'm giving you the opportunity for no water in your lungs. It's a good thing. Just take the offer. I'm telling you, it's going to work better. I'm not ready to be saved. Really? Awesome. Puppet of the devil works for you, huh? I just submit to you there's a better way. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about rules. I'm so not talking about rules. People are offended with how little rules I come up with. It's not what we're talking about. We're talking about just give up your life and get his. Which brings us to number three. Oh, I'm moving along here. Praise Jesus. Number three, ready? The life. Talk a lot about the death, but it's Resurrection Sunday. I'm here to talk about the life. John 12:25, he said this. He who loves his life loses it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. Now, if you were one of the disciples and you didn't have the Holy Ghost, that would make absolutely no sense at all. I'm just none. But once you get saved, it makes a lot of sense. Here's what happens. Fear causes you to hold on to the little scraps that you have. Remember when I was young, I was told about the... Have you heard the story of the little girl with the matches? It tells a story about in Depression-era New York, there's a little girl who would sell matchsticks to make money so she could eat at night. And she had to keep telling herself, you got to save one matchstick so we can light a fire at home and make it through the night in the winter. And so as she was selling her little matchsticks, she kept telling herself, I got to remember to hold on to one match so I can make it through the night. And finally she was down to one match, and she was terrified that the match wouldn't work and she and her family would freeze to death at night. And she'd hold on to the matchstick, and she had the money. She was going to buy some food and go home and light the fire, and they were going to make it through one more night. And yet she kept thinking, what happens if the match doesn't light? 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 And finally she says, I need to check and make sure the match is going to work. And that's how so many people live their lives. So terrified to let go of the little bit that they have, they never get to live a life beyond what they can see. People sitting in a corner by themselves, no friends, no family, no one that they really trust, because they're terrified that if they trust someone, they might get hurt again. I'm here to let you know that's not life abundant. That's not the life that Jesus promised you. We hold on to this little life that we are able to cobble together, this little life that we're able to build on our own, this little life that we can construct with our measly skill set. And yet we go home alone, feel like nobody knows us, nobody understands us, not connected. There's nothing bigger that we're a part of in our life other than what we're able to do. Maybe you get a hobby. Maybe we have a little something that we learn so we can feel good about ourselves, and so some internet blog somewhere thinks that we're amazing. But we never live anything greater than ourselves. Jesus understood this predicament that man is in, because the enemy has no new tricks. He's been tricking people into this since the beginning of time. And he says, listen, you want real life? You want some real life? Here's what you do. Give it away. Just give it away. Just give away your life, and then you'll get real life. Stop holding on to it. Stop letting fear dictate your relationships. Stop letting angst decide what you're going to do and where you're going to go. Now, don't be stupid. Don't be foolish. But at the same point, no longer are you going to hold on to this thing thinking that this is all I got. Because let me let you know something. There is a life that is so much bigger than the life that you have right now. And it's right on the other side of eternity. And it's in the heart of God. And he's waiting for you to swap this little life that you have for the life that he has for you. There is a life that comes with knowing the Father that is so much greater than anything you've ever experienced. As a matter of fact, in Colossians, the writer says it this way. He says, for you have died and your life is hidden, hear this, with Christ in God. When you give your life to Jesus, it's not like you lose anything. Jesus is like, thank you. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take that life. I'm going to put it on the inside of me who is with the Father. Now, all of a sudden, you're not rooted and grounded on this earth which is passing away. All of a sudden, your life, the Bible tells us, gives you a hope that's anchored beyond the veil in the most holy place. Now, you're connected to a life that's on the other side of eternity. And what you can see with your eyes doesn't define who you are or what you can do. You're no longer bound to this three-dimensional world. There's a whole spirit world that's open to you. And there's a king in heaven who is the king of that spirit world, who rules and reigns over and says, guess what? You're right there with me. That's good news. Jesus died so that you may have life and have it more abundant. I'm talking about a wellspring of life. I'm talking about life that just keeps bubbling and bubbling and bubbling and bubbling. I'm talking about everywhere you look around your life, there just becomes a new little fountain of life springing up. And then you go into your family life, and there's a little fountain of life sprinkling up. And you go into your career life, and there's a little fountain of life. And you look at your marriage, and there's a fountain of life coming out of your marriage. And you look at your finances, there's a fountain of life. And you look at your health, there's a fountain of life. This is the life Jesus has for you. We need to press into it. Jesus gave up his spirit. The enemy didn't take it. They sentenced him to death, but that was because that was the plan of the Father. I believe if it was Jesus' desire, he could still be hanging there right now. Still kicking it, talking about, hey, I'm still thirsty. He's beyond this realm. He was the one who walked on water, amen? He used to be still chilling. I'm here to let y'all know I'm in charge of this thing right here. I'd have been messing with people on the cross. Watch this dark, psh, light. Psh. I'm going to go, but it's because I said that. You didn't tell me. I'm going because I said. You ain't kicking me out. I'm leaving on my own. I'm going to leave. It's because I want to leave, though. You're not making me leave. He gave up his life. He gave it up. Why? Because we needed that. Number four. I'm going to finish with this. The honor. The honor. John 12:26 says, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now, that tells us that's only for men. No, I'm joking. That's not really that at all. But this is amazing right here. We don't hear enough about this. If anyone serves Jesus, he has to follow Jesus. And where Jesus is, there you will be also. If anyone serves Jesus, the Father will honor you. Hear me. Faith doesn't make things easy. It makes them possible. Doesn't make things easy. It makes them possible. Your faith unlocks stuff. I mean, God wants to do so much through you that you never thought possible. If you'll just hold on a little bit and keep believing in Jesus, the Father wants to honor your faith. Amen. It is the desire of the Father to honor your faith. Amen. Listen, he said that you wouldn't be alone. He said, if a grain doesn't go in the ground and die, it stays alone. But if it does, much fruit. Are you lonely? Have you given your life to Jesus? He promised you wouldn't be alone. If you're visiting, forgive me. I'm getting flooded right now. There's just seeing stuff in the room, and it's distracting. But good. For some of you, you're in a season right now that's opening. We just finished our 21 days of prayer and fasting. And people have seen amazing, let me just say this. Many, many people have seen things unveiled in their life. Both blessings and lies. The enemy doesn't want you to be in darkness anywhere. The Father doesn't want you to be in darkness anywhere. He wants to reveal everything that's in darkness, right? And some of you have really gotten in on the 21 days of prayer and fasting, and you've just seen stuff happen. Because you've lined up with what the house is doing. And I just feel in my spirit the next 40 days, there is a season that is opening of people to really come into amazing things. That doesn't mean you can sit at home and soak into it. You might have to actually get up and do something. Right? Faith doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It means it's possible. It means it's possible. But he said you'll never be alone. Because where he's going, you will be also. Now, I don't want to get super spiritual here, but we know you're a three-part being, right? What you see with your eyes isn't all there is, right? I mean, you have thoughts, and I've not seen a single thought. Right? So there's more than just flesh and bones, right? Right? And so there's your spirit, which comes from God, and there's your soul, where your body and your spirit mix. Now, your soul is going to live forever, right? Depending on what you do in this life, decides where it goes. Forever. But Jesus said, when you give your life to him, where he is, you are. What does that mean? Because you receive the Spirit of God when you receive Christ. And your spirit man is now quickened. It's made alive again in Christ Jesus. Now, all of a sudden, your spirit man that's dead in sin comes to life. Now, it is connected to the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. And now, when you're connected to him, you're wherever he is. That kind of makes sense, right? When you have a Siamese twin, it's not like one of you is going to go to the movies and one's going to go bowling. You're both going bowling or you're both going to the movies, right? When you are saved and connected to Christ, when you're following the Spirit, all of a sudden, wherever Jesus is, there you are. Wherever you are, guess what? There Jesus is. Some of you are going to go have lunch with family today. Some of you are really excited about that. Some not as much. I want you to walk in there like you got the Spirit of Christ on you. In the holy place is where you're connected. You have a hope that is anchored beyond the veil in the Holy of Holies. And it's like an umbilical cord that feeds you life wherever you go. I like to look at it like a big old extension cord from heaven that you're plugged into. And you can just draw from wherever you want. Does this make sense? He's alive. He's alive. This brings us back to our original scripture in Luke 23:46. Jesus, he cried out with a loud voice. He said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Why would Jesus do that if he didn't really trust the Father? Fully trusted the Father. Fully trusted that when he gave his life to the Father would take really good care of it. He has spent an eternity seeing how loving the Father was. He spent an eternity knowing the Father's heart. He spent an eternity knowing what the Father's plans were for this world, for you and for me. And Jesus knew his plans for him. And he said, you know what? My life here is good. My life in the Father will be even better. And so he allowed himself to be that seed planted into the ground, knowing that it would bring a harvest of life. Every time somebody decides, hey, I'm going to receive Christ Jesus as my Savior, I'm going to give up my life, I'm going to receive his life for mine, all of a sudden, more fruit. More fruit. More fruit, constantly bearing fruit. Every time you go and by the leading of the Holy Spirit, you show love, you sow into somebody's life, you heal the sick, you witness and you evangelize. Every act of righteousness that you commit on this life as a believer brings honor to the Father through Christ Jesus. And the Father said, hey, whoever does that, I will honor them. Here we are on Resurrection Sunday, and I want to pray for in the entire room in a second, because I really feel like we're coming into just an amazing season, a season of opportunity, and I think a season of acceleration, if it were. I'm not hyping this up and all that. I've seen some things in the Spirit, and I feel like there's going to be a grace to do things that were very hard recently. Right? Not, you know, find a lotto ticket on the ground. I'm talking about the grace to do the stuff God has told you to do that's been very difficult, but a grace has now come into it. Some of you, you've been struggling to do certain things to get certain victories in your life. And I feel like we're coming into a season of grace. We're going to cooperate with the Spirit. But of course, I would be remiss if I didn't recognize that in a room this size, probably some people who don't know him, who've not received that life yet. And I just want to pray real quick for everybody in the room. Father, we just love you today. I'm pretty happy about you being alive. Pretty happy that I have a relationship with you. Pretty happy that you saved me. And like you told me on Friday, that you died for people. That you stood there talking to me. That you died for people. Your love for the people in this room is so tangible. It's so real. Here we go. And Jesus, as you're ministering in this room right now, Holy Ghost, as you're touching people in this room right now with the love of the Father, as you're using everything at your disposal to reach hearts right now, I even feel like there's people in this room right now, you had no intention of going to church today, and yet you find yourself here right now. I'm here to let you know it's not by accident. There's people in this room that it has been a sovereign move of God to get you here today, because God has something for you beyond what you have been living, beyond what you've been experiencing. So, Father, I just declare a blessing over your people today. I declare a blessing over all those under the sound of my voice. Father, I pray for them, Lord. I pray that they would know the season that they're in right now. They would see the season that's opening before them, Father. I pray that they would understand the requirement in this season, and what needs to die. What needs to be offered? What was for last season? What needs to be put away? Like winter clothes as they come into this springtime. What needs to be planted as an offering, Father? Pray that they would see the life that they have in you. The life that we have in Christ Jesus. And Father, I pray that they would see the honor that you give those who come home. Who come home and receive that robe of righteousness, who receive that ring, who receive that crown. Jesus, I thank you for the open arms of love that you have for all those who love you. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for the people in this room right now who need to know that love. Father, I know there's lonely people in here right now who know you but are lonely. They're saved, but they know you, and they're lonely. Father, I pray that every heart would be comforted today. I pray that you would make inroads for them to be bold and make relationships that they can trust. Father, I know the importance of spiritual family for you and community and the resources that comes from community. I pray that they could drink from that today. And in the weeks to come as they return. I pray for those who don't know you, Father. And I just declare that today is the day of salvation. Father, I know all throughout this room you're touching hearts right now. There's people who need to know you. There's people that need to give their lives to Christ. There's people who need to say, you know what? I've been living my own life. But today I'm going to start living my life in Jesus. Today's the day that I plant the seed of my life into the ground so that I can bear more fruit than I've ever been able to bear in my life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wasn't planning on this, but I just feel the prompting of the Lord. There's some people that you don't know what happens tomorrow, and today I need to make sure that this is taken care of. So please, just honor what the Lord is doing right now, and be reverent of what Jesus is doing. Just close your eyes, and this is between me and you. All over this room, there's people that you say, you know, I once followed God, but I'm not following anymore. I've grown cold in my walk, and not a true follower of Christ Jesus anymore. I want to be, but I'm not. And there's people who may say, I've never actually been a follower. I don't even really know what that means. Some of you say, I thought I knew because I had family members who tried to tell me what that was, but it never seemed right. But now I see there's a living God who wants to have a relationship with me, and that's all we're talking about here. We're not talking about church rules. We're not talking about wearing fancy clothes. We're talking about knowing the living God. And there's some of you who are so trapped in your sin, you know you're not living right. You know that sin is running your life. Sin is running your life, and today is the day it ends. Today is the day that you receive the grace from God to be an overcomer. I want to pray with you today, whoever that is. If every head bowed, every eye closed, just humor me right now as I do it this way. Just every head bowed, every eye closed. If that's you today, I just want you to raise your hand up and down real quick. I want to know who I'm praying with. I'm going to lead a prayer, and we're just going to pray together. No one looking around. Just put your hand up. I see you in the back. Who else? Who else? On the left, I see you. In the center, I see you. You can put it down. I see it. On the right, who is that today? Yep, I see you. Who else? You want to be part of this. You're just like, today I'm planting my seed. Amen. Let's stand together if we could. As the worship team comes up, I want to pray for some people. Today's a great day for life. What do you think? Today a great day for life?
Hallelujah.
Come on up, worship team. We're going to sing a song. But when we sing that song, I want to just welcome. I want to pray for some people. I want to pray. Listen, you can't do this on your own. That's why you haven't been doing it good. Because you can't do it on your own. You need family. You need church. You need the Holy Ghost. You need deliverance. You need discipleship. I don't want to drag this out. I just feel like there's some people need to get saved. People need to get saved. Hallelujah. Diane, can you come forward? Chelsea, can you come forward here, please? Huh. Holy Ghost of God. I got two things. Yeah, come on up. Come on up. Come up. Who is that? Come on up. Just coming up right now. We got you. Yeah, come on up. Who else? Come on up. You're like, today's the day I'm going to get saved. I just feel like today's the day I'm going to get saved. Who else? Come on. No. Today's your day. You're going to give your life to God and everything's going to change. You're like, oh, but I did it 10 times. Make it 11. Come on forward. We're going to wait. Believers, pray. You're like, I'm not living right. I'm in one of those three categories. Today's the day, though, I'm going to get saved. Today I'm going to become a Christ follower and the sin's going to leave my life. Come, ask your neighbor. Ask someone you came with. Are you ready to go up? Listen, I'm going to pray for people to get baptized in the Holy Ghost next. But right now, we're going to pray for people to answer the altar call and give their life to God. One of these three things, that you're not living right. You used to follow God, but now you're cold. Or today's the day. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Ask your neighbor. And then bring them up here if they need to come. I don't see you asking your neighbor. Ask your neighbor. I don't care if your neighbor's a pastor's wife. Come on. Come on up. Come on up. Come on. Give it up. Come on. Who else? Come on. This is a good decision. Who else? Start talking to her, Diane. Come on. We're going. I just feel like we got to wait for a minute, Corey. Is that all right? You ask the band? They're saved? Ask again. Ask your neighbor. Come on. I'm going to go with you. This is a good decision. Come on. Come on. Yeah. Come on. 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 Can I get some of my directors? Come on forward, please. So my directors, come forward. Sam, come on up, please. Come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Keep going. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Keep going. Come on, keep going. Come on, who else? Oh, it's becoming a very good day right now. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Come on, line up. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, Travis, come on over. I need some help. Andres, where you at? Manuel, where you at? Come on, Lillian. Hallelujah. 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 Believers, just pray. Pray and stretch a hand real quick. They're going to minister to them real quick. Emmanuel, right on over here. Emmanuel, right here. Come on. Hallelujah. Go ahead, Sam. Now listen, I'm going to lead everybody into prayer together here. Okay, listen, if you're up here, listen. Listen, we're going to pray together. Let me tell you what's about to happen. Let me tell you what's about to happen. And if you're out there, you probably want to get in on this. We're going to pray a prayer, but it's not just words, because when I say it, the Holy Ghost of God is going to rush in and quicken your spirit man. Angels will be assigned to you. Your name will be written in the book of life. And heaven will rejoice. Woo. Honor will come to Jesus. Ha. Are you ready? We're going to pray all this together. You ready? We're going to pray together. I'm telling you, it's about to become a very, very, very good day. You ready? Quiet down 1 second there, band. You guys ready? Are we ready? Oh my gosh, I'm getting happy. Are you getting happy yet?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm getting happy. Listen, you got to say this with your mouth, though, all right? You got to say this with your mouth. You got to believe it in your heart, right? That Jesus was raised from the dead. Say Jesus.
Jesus.
I did things wrong.
I did things wrong.
I knew they were wrong. And I did them anyways. Forgive me. Wash me clean.